Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor and privilege to open this conference and welcome you to FAO headquarters for the second International Conference on Nutrition. A special welcome goes to the co-host of this conference, Dr. Margaret Chan, Director General of World Health Organization, WHO. I am also glad to welcome those of you who are here for the first time, including many ministers of health and agriculture and representatives of WHO and other UN agencies. I would like now to pass the floor to Ms. Marcela Villarreal, Director of FAO for Partnerships, Advocacy and Capacity Development. Marcela, you have the floor.
Thank you, Director General. Your Royal Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, during the course of our deliberations, the eyes of the international community will be focused on us as we review progress made since the first International Conference on Nutrition held back in 1992. Despite significant improvements since the first time, the fundamental challenge we face in 2004 remains that of improving nutrition and addressing malnutrition through coherent and sustainable policies and other coordinated joint international action. I wish to suggest that we open the first item of the provisional agenda of this conference, the inaugural ceremony. At this conference, we are honored by the presence of special guests, as well as numerous ministers of FAO and WHO member states. In particular, we are privileged to have with us His Excellency Paolo Gentiloni, Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation of Italy. Welcome. For over 60 years, as host country to FAO, Italy has unfailingly provided its generous support to the organization. It is therefore an honor for me to invite Ambassador Gianni Ghisi, permanent representative of Italy to FAO, to deliver a message from His Excellency Giorgio Napolitano, President of the Republic of Italy. Ambassador Ghisi, you have the floor.
Mr. Director General of FAO, Madam Director General of WHO, Royal Majesty, Royal Highness, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. I have the honor and the privilege to deliver the following message from His Excellency, the President of the Italian Republic. Quote, I wish to extend my warmest greetings to the Director General of the Food and Agriculture Organization, José Graziano da Silva, to the Director General of the World Health Organization, Madam Margaret Chan, and to all the participants to the second International Conference on Nutrition. The resolute and vigorous international mobilization to eradicate the plagues of hunger and malnutrition that still affect millions of people has achieved significant progress since the first conference in 92. I am convinced that a decisive concrete contribution to this end will come from this second conference and as well from the Universal Exhibition in Milan, which will be focusing on the same themes of nutrition and sustainable development of our planet. In this spirit, I am pleased to express to the organizers and to the participants to this conference my heartfelt wishes for a fruitful work and successful outcomes. Giorgio Napolitano, unquote, and I thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador Ghisi. I should now like to request His Excellency Paolo Gentiloni to deliver the inaugural address of the Second International Conference on Nutrition. You have the floor.
Thank you.
Director General Graziano da Silva, Director General Chan, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Italian government and of our Prime Minister Renzi, I have the honor to welcome all delegation and participants attending the Second International Conference on Nutrition. Since the first conference took place in 1992, Rome has hosted a series of other important international events on the issue of food and food security. The World Food Summits of 1996 and 2002, the World Summit on Food Security in 2009. The conference that is about to start will focus again on nutrition, while building on the results of previous events and on relevant international initiatives like the World Health Organization 2025, Global Nutrition Targets and the United States Secretary General's Zero Hunger Challenge. Its task, our task, will be to agree on new commitments, realistic goals, and effective actions in order to respond to the present challenges to food and nutrition security. Italy warmly thanks the Director General of the Food and Agriculture Organization, José Graziano da Silva, and the Director General of the World Health Organization, Margaret Chan, for having jointly organized and convened this second conference on nutrition, providing a crucial opportunity for the international community to intensify and improve action. The conference will make a key contribution to placing nutrition high on the post 2015 development agenda, which will be adopted, as you know, next year in New York, and which will establish a universal sustainable development framework that will guide the international community for the next 15 years. In this respect, I am sure that Expo Milano 2015, whose theme is Feeding the Planet, Energy for Life, will also provide a valuable and timely global platform to raise awareness of the results of this conference and thus of the necessity to fight and eliminate malnutrition. We expect indeed millions of visitors to Milan and a global media coverage of the event. Therefore, Expo 2015 will be an extraordinary opportunity to amplify among world public opinion awareness on issues such as sustainable rural development, fight against food wastes and losses, family farming, gender empowerment, and to highlight the relation between individual choices and global processes. According to the latest FAO estimates, global hunger continues to decline. Today, about 805 million people are still chronically undernourished. In 1992, when the first international conference was held, this figure was over 1 billion people. In other words, undernourishment in the last 22 years has fallen from 18.7 to 11.3% globally, and from 23.4 to 13.5% in developing country. There has been some progress, but not enough, especially in the developing world. People still suffer from hunger, and we must not forget that undernutrition continues to be the main cause of death of many children under five. 45% of all child deaths in the world is in 2013. Furthermore, new challenges have emerged since 1992 and must be better addressed.
for example, overweight and obesity, have been rapidly increasing in all regions. The great value of this conference lies in its ability to bring a common vision, encompassing all aspects of nutrition, identifying cross-cutting and coherent policies, as well as ensuring coordinated action among all actors. Our priority should be to implement people-centered policies and programs that raise the productive capacity and incomes of the rural and urban poor and strengthen their capacities to care for themselves. In this framework, responsible investments in agriculture and in food systems are essential. Farmers, especially smallholders in developing countries, need access to markets. This is a crucial condition for national and global food security. We must promote initiatives by people and communities, fully recognizing the importance of the family unit in providing adequate food, nutrition, and proper caring environment for meeting the physical and social needs of children and other vulnerable groups, including the elderly. Special attention must also be paid to women and their empowerment. Women play a key role in reducing malnutrition, and we must support them by integrated and multi-sectoral public policies that increase their productive capacity, their incomes, and strengthen their resilience. Another issue related to food and nutrition security, especially at a time of global economic crisis, is how the world's poorest, in particular in rural areas, can earn a decent living and equal access to social education and health service. Adequate and balanced nutrition, along with basic health and education, is indeed essential for human dignity and for the right of every human being to fully participate in civil society. It is therefore imperative to adapt our strategy to fight bad nutrition in all its forms. We must scale up our efforts in a more comprehensive way. We have also to better take into account the negative impacts on food security and nutrition of climate change, pandemics, humanitarian emergencies, and crises. These are, for Italy, among the main goals of the conference. Distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, the Declaration of Rome on Nutrition and the related framework for action, which will be considered later, represent a balanced synthesis of different perceptions and point of views. They bring in new energy for mobilizing under a shared vision, not just states and international organizations, but all actors, especially the civil society and the private sector. Italy attaches utmost importance to this partnership and believes that it will be crucial for the follow-up of this conference. These documents will be a new point of departure. They will be our basic tools. It is upon us, however, to ensure their implementation and to finally eliminate malnutrition from our world and from the world of future generations. This second international conference on nutrition has a key role in devising a shared vision and a common strategy for addressing all the new challenges of malnutrition. The consensus that will emerge from the conference will send a strong message of political unity and willingness just a few months ahead of the adoption of a new development agenda. And this should mark a turning point in integrating the three dimensions of sustainable development: economic, social, and environmental, and thus be truly universal and transformative. I warmly wish that our joint effort should contribute to build a better world in which the problems of hunger, bad nutrition, and waste of food resources will be even partially alleviated. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Excellency, for your words of encouragement at the outset of a conference in which we will continue our efforts to achieve collective objectives of improving nutrition and addressing the multiple challenges of malnutrition. Furthermore, This conference will respond to the UN Secretary General's call for higher degree of policy coherence at the global, regional, and national levels, and also to contribute to a global partnership for development. It will also work towards the achievement of the Secretary General's call to world leaders to take up the Zero Hunger Challenge. Secretary General Ban could not be with us here today, but he will address the conference through a video message.
I know from my own country's experience the crippling effect that hunger and malnutrition can have. A great deal of progress has been made since I issued the Zero Hunger Challenge, calling on governments, civil society, faith communities, the private sector, and research institutions to unite to end hunger and eliminate the worst forms of malnutrition. Now, more than 100 developing countries in Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean have committed to end hunger by 2025, as have others in Asia, the Pacific, and the Middle East. The 54 countries leading the scaling up nutrition movement have recognized nutrition as integral to their social and economic development. Many countries are also responding to the increasing challenge of obesity. I congratulate governments for having successfully negotiated the Rome Declaration on Nutrition and Framework for Action. We must now redouble our efforts. I look forward to learning of the national commitments that each of you will make. In turn, the UN system pledges to do all that it can to provide effective support. I wish you every success. Thank you.
I wish to thank the Secretary General for his words of support and encouragement to rise to the challenge posed by malnutrition during our deliberations over the next 3 days. I now have the pleasure of inviting Dr. Chan, Director General of the World Health Organization, to address the conference. Dr. Chan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Good morning to all of you. Your Royal Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Your Excellency, Vice President of Tanzania, Your Excellency, Mr. Paolo Gentiloni, Minister of Foreign Affairs, my good friend, Dr. Marino, Mayor of Rome. It's an honor to have a fellow doctor to be a mayor. And Your Excellencies, Honorable Ministers, distinguished delegates, my dear brother, Graciano De Silva, Director General of FAO, friends and colleagues from the UN agencies, civil societies, parliamentarians, and ladies and gentlemen. Very warm good morning to you. I can't say welcome to Rome because this is not my home base. I come from Geneva, but Rome is one of my favorite cities. The only person who worry about me coming to Rome is my husband. And we all know the reason. Let me take this opportunity to really appreciate the Italian government, especially the city of Rome, the capital in particular, for hosting the ICN2. WHO is especially honored and privileged to be working very closely with FAO to jointly organize the ICN2, and we want to thank the member states of both organizations for giving us this special privilege. Ladies and gentlemen, the need for strong and smart policies governing agriculture, food production, and nutrition is greater today than at any time in recent history. Many realities support this view. Our 21st century societies are interconnected, interdependent, and wired together as never before. The increases in international air travel and trade have been phenomenal. Like countries, policy spheres are interconnected as well. Their boundaries are becoming blurred. Good food and nutrition-related policies must be mutually reinforcing. They cannot be planned in isolation. With societies and policy spheres tied together, the consequences of bad policies in one country or a killer disease affecting parts of West Africa, as we are seeing, rapidly reverberate all around the world. Let me use the Ebola epidemic to make two points that are very relevant to your agenda. When my staff fly into Lofa in Liberia, they pass over the so-called forest zone, a triangle-shaped area of ancient tropical rainforests where the country's borders intersect with those of Guinea and Sierra Leone. The photos taken by my staff show the scooped-out gorges, the sprawling bald spots in the forest where foreign mining and timber companies exploited the country's natural resources during years of civil unrest and weak government oversight. Those activities denuded the forest and disrupted its natural ecology, driving wild animals closer and closer to human settlements. This is my first point. Environmental policies must also be part of the discussions during this summit. Our planet, ladies and gentlemen, is losing its capacity to sustain human life in good health. No one is predicting that population growth will outpace the productivity of the world's food systems. No, we are not suggesting that. But this food must be health promoting, and it must be produced in sustainable ways that first do no harm. My second Ebola example is this. When studies link bush meat from wild animals that reside in the forest zone to the start of the outbreak in Guinea, the hunting and consumption of bush meat were banned. This is my second point. The profound importance of ensuring food security for all. You cannot solve the problem of hunger with a ban. As I have been told, bushmeat is a principal source of food and a principal source of income for these people. If banned from hunting, selling, and consuming this food, people starve. And there are other realities we need to address. Worldwide, social inequalities in income levels, in opportunities, in health outcomes, and nutritional status are at their highest level in living memory. Economies are growing, but policies tend to favor the elite and powerful while failing to protect the poor. The world does not need any more rich countries full of poor people. Dire poverty and hunger still affect millions of people. Hunger and the resulting nutrition deficiency cause millions of diseases, diseases like anemia, night blindness, goiter, and problems like low birth weight babies and wasting in young children. Undernutrition stunts the growth and cognitive development of children and kills them near the start of their very short lives. Of course, WHO established dietary and nutritional guidelines, looks after food safety issues. By the way, April 7th next year is the World Health Day, and the theme is on food safety. And that shows to you the importance we attach to this issue. And of course, WHO will estimate and map the prevalence of undernourished and overnourished individuals in the world. In addition to those, we also deal with other worries. According to some experts, the world's food system is broken, with its reliance on the industrialized production of ever cheaper, highly processed, and unhealthy food. This is not my personal area of expertise. I cannot agree or disagree. But from a health perspective, I do see some warning signs. In large parts of the developing world, and especially in Africa, family farmers are the backbone of the rural economy. The globalization of an industrialized food supply crowds them out in such a way that their traditional livelihoods were often displaced and their healthy diets were forgotten. Municipal authorities in large cities in Africa and in Asia find it cheaper, actually, to import processed foods from abroad than to gather fresh produce from the hinterlands. This brings to mind the classical image of globalization. A U.S. ship loaded with wheat heading for Asia passes an Indian ship also loaded with wheat on its way to America. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, this redundancy and inefficiency is still cheaper than gathering fresh produce from local farmers. We really need to think hard. Why? Something is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, part of our out-of-balance world still starves to death. Another part stuffs itself into a level of obesity so widespread that it is pushing life expectancy figures backward and pushing the cost of healthcare to astronomical figures. A high prevalence of population-wide obesity and overweight is not too difficult to spot those signs, is actually the warning sign that bad trouble is on its way in the form of more heart disease, more diabetes, and more cancers at multiple sites. The future health of this world needs policy coherence nationally and also globally. It needs policy coherence across multiple sectors, including agriculture, food production, distribution, and marketing, and protection of the environment and the livelihood of farmers. We need state-of-the-art scientific consensus reports on the minimum micronutrient intakes required to prevent problems associated with undernutrition. And we also need standards on maximum intakes that should not be exceeded to protect against chronic diet-related diseases. The World Health Organization produces these reports. This is not the problem. And what is the problem? The problem is getting the recommendations implemented in countries. And this means persuading the food industry to produce more healthy foods and to stop selling so many convenient and tasty foods that are bought bad for health. I think that the economic objective and the health objective can cross, can converge. And I think the countries of this world have the creativity to work with civil society, academics, and the private sector to find the right solutions for good health. Mapping out a framework of coherent policies fit for the 21st century is part of our job here at this summit. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished ministers of agriculture and health, I look to you for your guidance and advice and how FAO and WHO can support your work in your countries. And I wish you all a most productive meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Chan, for your words. I now have the pleasure to give the floor to Dr. Jose Graciano da Silva, Director General of FAO. You have the floor.
Your Royal Majesty King Letsi III of Lesotho, Your Excellency Mohamed Bilal, Vice President of Republic of Tanzania, Your Royal Highness Princess Haya Bint Al Hussein from United Arab Emirates, Your Excellency Paolo Gentiloni, Minister of Foreign Affairs International Cooperation of Italy, His Excellency Ignacio Marino, Mayor of Rome, Dr. Margaret Chan, Director General of WHO, co-organizer of this conference, Ministers of Agriculture and Health, heads of delegation, delegates, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for answering the call made by FAO and WHO to discuss nutrition and to give this issue the attention it deserves. We are meeting 22 years after the first ICN took place in this same building. Over the past decades, we have made progress. However, malnutrition still claims the lives of millions of people and robs millions more of a dignified life, as you already have been alerted. And 22 years ago, we had not anticipated that there would be a such massive increase in obesity. Today, over 500 million adults are obese, and many more children in developing and developing world. Many developing countries, especially middle-income countries, are facing the multiple burdens of malnutrition simultaneously, undernourishing, hiding hunger, and obesity comes together. Malnutrition affects individuals, families, and society as a whole. Its human, social, environment, and economic costs are overwhelming. We have all the knowledge, expertise, and resources to overcome all forms of malnutrition. In fact, there is already enough food in the world for everyone to eat adequately. However, this availability of food has not translated into healthy nutrition. Today, we recognize the need to reshape our food systems. Our challenges are clear. First, to ensure global food security and nutrition, implying sufficient food supply for all. Second, to translate this into healthy nutrition for all people within our lifetime. And third, we must achieve these goals in environmentally, socially, and economically sustainable ways. The starting point for this is to recognize that nutrition is a public issue and treat it that way. We also need to pursue more sustainable, inclusive, and healthier food systems, encompassing from production to consumption. And this has to be a joint and coordinated effort. Governments must lead the way to better nutrition for all. Within governance, this effort must involve different sectors, including health, agriculture, education, and social protection. We need also the full engagement of parliamentarians. They make the laws and set the budgets that will support better nutrition for all. We need civil society organizations engaged. They ensure the voices of the hunger are heard. They help us to set our signs high. And of course, we also need the private sector on board. And yesterday, their representatives have assured us that they will be willing to be part of our effort for better nutrition. For this reason, I'm very pleased that all stakeholders have been part of the ICN2 preparation process. The UN system also has an important role to play. Not only FAO and WHO, but the whole system. These include the three Rome-based partners, IFAD and WFP, that are here with us today. It also includes UNICEF and other agency programs and funds whose work touch upon nutrition and with whom we have a strong history of partnership. This is a joint effort, and we are committed to delivering to you the best support we can. Ladies and gentlemen, FAO has a special interest in nutrition. It's at the heart of our mandate. As you walk into our lobby in the entrance building, you might have seen the marble slabs at your right with the preamble of our Constitution written in 1945. It tells us how nations came together to create FAO with the purpose of raising levels of nutrition and standards of living of their citizens and contributing to achieve a world free from hunger. For FAO First Director General and Nobel Peace Prize winner, Sir John Boyd Orr, ending hunger was the first step on the road to fulfill the promise of freedom from want, one of the four freedoms articulated by the United States President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Adequate nutrition is a part of this freedom from want that we all need. Food security and adequate nutrition for all are pillars for the future we want. That's why the Zero Hunger Vision resonates among all of us, as you have listened from the Secretary General. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, you'll be invited to endorse the ICN2 documents, the Rome Declaration on Nutrition and the Framework for Action on Nutrition. Together, they are a starting point of our renewed efforts to improve nutrition for all. But they are not the finishing line. Our responsibility is to transform their commitments into concrete results. I hope that during this conference, you ministers will announce targets that even go beyond what we have already agreed. In doing so, you will also be contributing to the post-2015 Sustainable Development Agenda and to establish of a decade of action on nutrition. Expo Milano 2015, as remember the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Italy, that will be celebrated next year, is also part of the road that we are on to achieve better nutrition for all. Let us work together to be as the generation that made hunger and malnutrition a part of history. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Dr. José Graciano da Silva, Director General. Your Royal Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, since the founding of the International Institute of Agriculture here in Rome in 1905, the establishment of FAO headquarters here in 1951, followed by that of IFAD and the World Food Programme, the city of Rome has been the home for agriculture and nutrition issues for well over a century. It is therefore fitting for His Excellency Ignazio Marino, Mayor of the City of Rome, to deliver a message of welcome to at the start of this conference on nutrition. Mayor, you have the floor.
Thank you. Let me first welcome you all in Rome. It is a pleasure, a real pleasure, for Rome to host the second World Conference on Nutrition that the FAO and the World Health Organization have jointly organized. My deep appreciation goes to my dear friend and fellow Italian, José Graziano da Silva, Director General of FAO, and to Margaret Chan. I can't resist to tell a short story about Margaret. Many years ago, a few months after she was elected as Director General of the WHO, I asked her, maybe she doesn't remember it.
I
asked her, what is the difference, the most striking difference between a man and a woman? She stopped, smiled, and answered to me that often men discuss about and argue about power positions. Women use power position for the good of our children, for their health, nutrition, and education. And thank you, Margaret, for what you are doing. I also wish to extend a warm welcome to the thousands of very distinguished guests and delegates who are here for this important meeting. I can express with words how proud I am and Rome is to see you here today. Our city is happy to host the three United Nations food agencies to which the Roman City Council has given the honorary citizenship in April 2013. In this very building, in 1996, Fidel Castro delivered his famous speech on hunger, defined as the inseparable companion of the poor. El hambre inseparable compañera de los pobres. Back then, in 1996, 35,000 people who die of hunger every day. Today, statistics are equally alarming. More than 800 million people in the world do not have enough food to lead a healthy, active life. That's about one person in nine people on Earth. I applaud the UN decision to proclaim 2014 International Year of Family Farming. As José Graziano da Silva emphasized, nothing comes closer to the sustainable food production paradigm than family farming. It is important to acknowledge the crucial role played in the world economy by millions of small family farms when it comes to production of healthy food, environmental protection and biodiversity, but also the fight against hunger and malnutrition. The promotion of family farming and local agriculture is a key issue also for Italy and for the city of Rome. In Italy, 47% of agricultural holdings cover an area of less than 0.003 square miles. In these difficult economic times, it is interesting to remember that the agricultural sector has been recording a positive trend of youth employment. Rome is the largest agricultural town in Europe. For this reason, the use and preservation of agricultural heritage is one of our major goals. We have been promoting the development of local organic farming and supporting innovation, working with local agricultural realities, universities, and research centers. In our view, the agricultural heritage represented a crucial element of economic recovery, but at the same time, an exceptional environmental and cultural value. We believe that our land must be defended because our future and the quality of life on our planet depend on it. In August 2013, only 2 months after our installation, we have stopped a tender notice that would have created an overbuilding in the Agro-Romano, the Roman countryside. Through a public competition, we have assigned to young farmers 100 hectares. In this way, the city will not only protect his land, but it will give a chance to young people and promote biodiversity. Rome is then the first city in Italy to have translated into action the provision of the 2012 law that clarified the terms for the assignment of public agricultural land to young people under 40 years of age. In December 2014, we will launch a new public competition for the allocation of an additional 500 hectares of land. We have also developed the first municipal regulation of urban gardens, an extraordinary reality made of spontaneous initiatives by our citizens. To support the small-scale local agriculture and strengthen the so-called zero-mile supply chain, Rome has created a farmers' market network that promotes our products and helps small farmers. Furthermore, Rome manages 4 agricultural enterprises. 2 of them are biological farms that deal with crop sector and animal husbandry. Finally, the Roman Farmhouses Network, whose activities aimed at children, pupils of primary and secondary schools, and families, intend to enhance the relationship between town and countryside and promote food education, consumptuous awareness, and the importance of biodiversity. These are the activities that Rome is committed in for the ecological, sustainable development of its territory, because we believe that agriculture can become strategic for a different future of our world. It is through these actions that we confirm our commitment to be on the side of the United Nations, with whom we share the desire to support small family farms for the defense of the territory and biodiversity. Thank you all, and once again, welcome to Rome. I can tell how proud is Rome to host your work for the Rome Declaration on Nutrition. Thank you, and good work.
Grazie. Grazie, Eccellenza. And thank you. Thank you for the support that the City of Rome has given to our work for many years, and in particular towards ensuring the success of this timely conference.